Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday evening worship service at Beach Hill. If you're visiting with us this evening, we're glad you're here to worship with us, and we invite you back any and every opportunity you may have. We'll go over several announcements this evening. If you'd like to follow along on the video board, we have several that we want to continue to remember that we're mindful of. This time, Tommy Simpson will be finishing his treatments this upcoming week, and we want to continue to pray for him and his tests and upcoming scans and his recovery through this process. Also, Cliff Orman had his surgery this past week and has been discharged and is now at home, as well as Bob Simpson, who was discharged and continues to recover at home after his recent neck surgery. Others that we're aware of, Lennox Kennemore, son of Tracy. Kennemore has been diagnosed with leukemia and has begun his treatments also and is responding well at this time. Let's remember those with upcoming procedures. Carson Meeks will have her heart procedure tomorrow. Theo Smith, Winston and Mallory's son, will make his arrival tomorrow and will be having some surgery within the week. Also remembered Hannah and Joab and the upcoming birth of their daughter. Have a couple of others that are not on the board. Let's remember Miss Nell Garrett. This is Debbie's mother. She continues to recover. And was mentioned this morning, Anna Threadgill. Many of you may know her. She is undergoing some tests at this time and has asked for prayer. So let's remember these also. I've also been made aware that Dan Elder passed away this afternoon or today. And I'm not sure of any arrangements or anything at this time, but let's remember this family as well. Our upcoming events, August 21st, we're going to have our fifth Sunday scheduled on August the 21st. We will have a regular worship that morning, and we'll have a meal and a 1 p.m. service. David Light will be speaking on that Sunday, and the youth will have an event that evening at the Ripley Church of Christ at 5 p.m. So let's all mark our calendars for this as well as our upcoming gospel meeting September the 11th through the 14th. Also, I'm sure there'll be further announcements regarding this next Sunday, but let's remember that starting next Sunday, August the 7th, our evening worship will begin at 5 p.m. So our evening service is at 5 p.m. beginning next Sunday. As we worship together tonight, Ryan Simpson will be wording our opening prayer. Mike Griffin has our closing prayer. Appropriate time, Brother King McCarver will be bringing the lesson. If you will now, please view the video board as Stacy Simmons leads our singing.
Number 173. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse of 173.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one.
637. We'll sing the first and last verse of 637.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort from. Whate'er I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, my his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wake I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me.
Let's pray. Our God, we're thankful for today and the blessings of this evening. We gather together and we're able to be here again. We're thankful for our worship this morning and again being able to be together tonight to give you praise and honor and to focus on your word, to worship you and to acknowledge that all that we have and do and are about comes from you. All the good that's in us is the good that we allow from your word to penetrate our hearts and come out through actions and words and thoughts. And we pray we'll fill it, our hearts, with more and more of your word and your commands, and try to smother out all the things that we do or think and say sometimes that are contrary to that. We pray that we'll be people that will work on this and work on ourselves, read your word, talk about it, pray to you more, just be more devoted to living the life that's pleasing to you, a life that in reflection of our Savior Jesus. We could never be perfect and the things and do all the things that our Savior was able to do, but we strive to be the man and humble and kind and obedient, serving others, looking for all the good in other people, trying to be a blessing to them because of the word that's growing in our hearts. We pray that we'll try to be that kind of person. We're very mindful of the people that we love and care about and we've mentioned by name. And we pray for all their situations, for the doctors, for the good care they're getting. And we pray that all the things that are being done for them are appropriate and will help.
and their health will be restored. And for those who we've mentioned that have lost a loved one, and we know they are sad, and we pray that you'll comfort them. And we know that you're with us and you understand the hurt and the stress and the worry that we have because of life and situations. And we pray that you'll help us to lean on you. We hope these people are folks that love your word and love you, and they're doing that, because that's where the ultimate peace and comfort comes, is from you. We're very mindful of the things that we're able to do at this place, and we pray that all that we're involved in, through our missionaries, through other things, through our young people, through the work, even to the older folks and all those in between, that we do the work here at Beach Hill, that we bring honor to your name, that we represent you well, that we encourage others to live the right way according to your word, that we can spread the gospel, that we can use our example and maybe our words, invitation to services and other things and opportunities that come our way. We pray that we'll be able to talk to others about your Savior and the salvation that's found only in him. Please be with Mallory and Winston tonight as they try to rest and think about the busy day tomorrow and the plan that's been prepared by the doctors, and we know they're ready, and that we know there's so many talented people, but we pray to you because you are the great one, and that you'll be with them, and we pray that you'll comfort them and their families and all of us as friends and people who love them, as things will work out for the best for Theo, and that all the procedures and the treatment that they have planned for him when he arrives, that will be done and it will be good, and that they will help him. We pray for them very much. We love them. They're on our minds heavy. And also Carson Meeks is on our mind, a young lady, and she will have surgery tomorrow, and her family they're concerned about that, of course, and we pray that you'll be with the doctors and they'll have steady hands as they perform the procedure that will help her. And we pray for Cliff. We're so thankful for that procedure being behind him and that he is recovering well, and he'll continue to do that. Be strong, and this will be behind him and he'll be able to recover fully. But we're proud of the early detection and the way they were able to remove a problem that he had, and he's doing well now. We're thankful for so many that have been able to recover. And there are some that are sick still, and then they're trying to recover. And we pray for their strength. But most of all, we pray for spiritual strength. And we pray for ourselves and for as we try to live and not to be distracted by these things, sickness and death and disappointment that maybe try to rob us of the blessings that we know that are there. And they try to shield, the devil does try to shield us from seeing how wonderful you are and all the things that you're doing for us. We pray that we'll be people that are always looking for the ways that we can help others, looking for ways that you're working in our lives, and our strength may be even greater because of that, along with our study. Be with us tonight as we listen to a word that King's prepared, and we pray that our hearts are ready for it. We know he is prepared and ready to preach to us. We're thankful for him, for his ability, and for his family. Be with us as we continue to give you worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 260. We'll sing the first and last verse of 260.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest all thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is
dedication song will be number 462. Number 462.
And as we continue our thoughts toward God through Christ, we turn into the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, Acts chapter 8, beginning at the 4th verse, where we read the statement that we quoted in our newsletter for this week about the disciples being scattered from Jerusalem, the church there under persecution, going about everywhere they went, proclaiming the word. And when we take up a representation of that concerning Philip at verse 5. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. And the multitudes gave heed with one accord in the things that were spoken by Philip when they heard and saw the signs which he did. For from many of those that had unclean spirits, they came out crying with a loud voice, and many that were paralyzed or disabled and that were lame were healed. And there was much joy in that city. But there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery and amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is that power of God, which is called great." And they gave heed to him, because of a long time he had amazed them with his sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, and beholding signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed. We studied tonight these two men in contrast as Luke presents them in this brief text in Acts, the 8th chapter. And we will consider them in contrast, first of all, by way of character. Now, how do you know the character of a person? But by what they do. And that's how Luke would lead us to see these two men and to understand these two men and their character. We see them in opposition, in contrast by what Philip did and what Simon did. And what is Philip's record as Luke has presented it to us up to this point, and what we have also in this text? What we may know about him according to this record is before us, beginning in the 6th chapter of Acts, where a problem arose in the church at Jerusalem, and the apostles, exercising good leadership, got the church involved and asked them to select 7 men who had certain qualifications, men that were of good report, that is, they had honorable reputation, they were well known to the church, and they would be men respected and appreciated in their faithfulness and their ability. And they were men who were full of the Spirit and of wisdom. So they selected 7 men, and Philip was one of those 7 men. Now, evidently, those 7 men worked very carefully and diligently, dealing with a difficult and demanding problem or opportunity, as you may view it, in the church, in the care of the widows, where there had been some complaint about neglect. Evidently, they did very well in that, because there appears to have been no more complaint, and the problem was solved, and the work of the Lord continued, and there was increasing growth in the church. As you read in verse 7, Philip was a part of the solution to the problem, and the church held him in high regard along with those other 6 men. He knew then how to work cooperatively, how to fulfill responsibility that was given to him, to receive a job and to see that job through with others in a way that showed respect for the church, for the Lord, for the gospel, for the leadership of the apostles, and respect for those widows and their families. That tells us a lot about that man and his character, along with his 6 co-workers in that good work. And then we come to chapter 8, and he's one of those that goes out with a church dispersed. And he goes out with the message of the gospel and uses his ability and opportunity to proclaim the gospel. The word there means to act as a herald, that is, to take something and announce it as it is. And so he is an announcer, a proclaimer of the gospel, not an innovator, a shaper of the gospel, but a proclaimer of the gospel as it is in truth, as he had received it from the apostles who received it from Christ. And so he also is described as one who's preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ in verse 12. And this word means to bring the good news. And so he had good news to report to people about God's kingdom, about the name of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? What does Jesus represent? His identity, his work. As Peter proclaimed him to be Lord and Christ, so Philip, knowing that truth, preached the same truth about Jesus Christ. So it's good news preaching. And he's a man then of convictions and of dedication and zeal for the Lord and his work. But he does something else in Samaria. The Lord has given him powers to use in his service that confirm the divine source of the message he preaches. And this was characteristic of those early times in the church in the first generation or two, but especially that first generation. And so he uses that miraculous provision God has made, and he uses it for the service of Christ and for the good of others. And this, like his preaching, because the two go together, this, like his preaching, served to honor Christ, not himself, but Christ. He preached Christ, and he served Christ by helping these people. He gave himself for the benefit of others in using that ability, as he had done in the Jerusalem church for the good of the widows. Now, by contrast, what can we know about the character of Simon by what is reported of him in Luke's record? We read those words about Simon in verses 9, 10, and 11. Look at them again there in Acts 8. Notice the emphasis upon himself. One is reminded of the parable of the rich, foolish man who receives so much bounty and speaks to himself about it and is focused upon himself and about his future and his goods and so forth. And so Simon is focused on himself, and he saw others as prospective admirers of himself. He was covetous and manipulative. He saw people as a resource to be used for his own interests. And because he thought that way, he certainly was deceptive. That is a revelation of the character of Simon. He's a much different person than was Philip. But let's see this contrast not only with regard to character, let's see it with regard to the actual work that these two men do in Samaria. What can you say about Philip's work there? One, there is this emphasis upon the teaching of the word. And in teaching the word of the gospel, Philip shows that he is a patient and thorough and faithful teacher of the gospel. He's not there for just an appearance or two. He's there as long as he has opportunity to engage these people with God's word, to stay as long as God allows him to stay and as long as there's the opportunity there for him to remain, and to help these people to come to God through Jesus Christ, to help them understand the gospel. However long that may take, whatever teaching may need to be done, this he does, as Paul said to Timothy, with long suffering and teaching. And the good that he does generously. He does it according to God's will and provision. There are many people there who have needs that Philip can help them with by the powers God gave him. And he takes the time to do that. And in that, he was like Jesus, who spent so much of his time to help all those individuals who were sick or who brought their sick and their demon-possessed. Sometimes we fail to give thought to how demanding a work that was for Jesus, how many hours he spent in that work dealing with those people. As we have said before, there is never anything said in the gospel books that would lead to the idea that Jesus simply made a proclamation of healing to multitudes of people or just waved his hand over multitudes of the sick and healed them all en masse at one time. Well, he dealt with them case by case, individual by individual, and that took a lot of time. And so it was in this city in Samaria. Philip takes the time and uses the ability God gave him to help the disabled and the paralyzed and the lame, and to free those who were dominated by the willful possession of demons. In all of this, he was glorifying God and Christ, because the teaching goes along with miraculous work. All of it was to draw attention to what God does by the name of Jesus Christ. And he treats people honorably. He doesn't see them as people that can be manipulated or maneuvered in some way, or can be people that can be moved in an emotionalistic sense, or charmed by his personality, his dominance over them, by the charisma of his ways. No, he's a teacher of the truth, and he wants to draw people's attention to Christ and not to himself, and he serves in the name of Christ. He treats people in a way that's respectful, as people who are equally in need of the gospel with himself, as one who has come as a brother human being to share with them the answer to the problem of sin, which is the problem of every person. By contrast, Simon came to town with sorcery, magical arts. He came to amaze people with himself. There were others like him in the world of that day. We know about them through other writers. And one reason that this event may be recorded in the book of Acts is to correspond with what we have in the gospel books, in the careful and thorough record of Jesus's ministry, to show the difference between what was revealed in God's Son and in his followers in comparison with all those charlatans and deceivers that had gone out into the world. And so we have a case of it up close for us here in the record of what happened in Samaria. Simon promoted himself. In fact, all his work was to his own advantage, and everything that he did served the purpose of promoting himself. His work would take people nowhere beyond Simon. It all led to himself and led people to become dominated by his personality and his ways. He kept people under the sway of his personality. And obviously, he was good at this because he was able to dominate the people for a long time through the use of these methods and through the power of his dynamism, of his personality. Through the use of these sorceries, he had bewitched the people. Now let's look at this contrast beyond character and work with regard to results. What do we see in the results of Philip's influence and work in Samaria? What did it produce? Well, first of all, most obviously, it produced true healings. Sufferers were given relief from their suffering. That these healings were true, we see in two ways. The people rejoiced over it with a joy that had not characterized them in response to Simon's ministry among them. Toward him, there was amazement, astonishment at every new trick in the book that was used by Simon. But toward Philip's work, there is great joy on the part of these people. But in a second way, we see the reality of these healings in the fact that Simon himself, the magician, was constantly in amazement at what Philip was doing. Simon saw what the people had already seen, that here is the real thing. Here is the power of God at work. And what people had called Simon was so obviously false, it had become ludicrous and embarrassment to call him the great power of God, when it was obvious that that great power of God was at work in the name of Christ through what Philip was doing. And the influence of Philip is seen in the fact that when people give heed to what he's saying, they're listening not to the mind of Philip or a message about Philip. They're listening to the mind of God and the love of God through Christ Jesus, and they're being drawn to Christ and to the kingdom of God and not to Philip. And thus their belief and their baptism was based upon this good news, this message that Philip had brought them. They received the word of God, we're told in verse 14. That's one way of expressing the result of Philip's work. They received the word of God. There was no word of God from Simon to be received. And what about Simon's influence? What would be the results of Simon's work among these people? Well, let's express that in the form of some questions. What benefit was his work to them? Make a list of what benefit Simon's work brought to the people in Samaria. And where would his work lead their lives? Where had it led them so far? And based on that, where would it lead them in the future? That's a frightening thing to think about. And then third, this question, how did his work improve them? In what way did it lift up their lives and change them and hold prospect of even better change to come? Now, you and I know the answer to those questions. Isn't it somewhat amazing then that these Samaritans had allowed themselves to be held so long under the sway of this man? Had they not thought about these questions? But such happens when people are deceived, and that's why the Bible warns us repeatedly in both the Old Testament and the New Testament not to allow ourselves to become deceived. Now, when Philip left Samaria, because he had to leave by the command of God, verse 26, to go elsewhere in his service. When he left Samaria, what did he leave behind him there? He left a people who had learned from him the way of salvation from God through Jesus Christ and who had received that word in faith and baptism. He left behind him a people who had accepted Jesus as their Lord, Lord and Christ. He left behind them a people who knew the truth from God and no longer allowed themselves to be held under the control, the power of some self-serving imposter. And because of that, they would be strengthened against that ever happening again in their lives. He left behind him a people who had much joy because of the truth and the true work and words of God. Before we leave this study in contrast and this work of Philip as presented to us here in Acts chapter 8, turn with me to the 15th chapter of Acts, to something that is somewhat of a sequel, although it's not always thought of in that way. Acts, the 15th chapter. You may remember this chapter tells us about a meeting in Jerusalem of the apostles and elders to discuss a false teaching that was troubling the church that had arisen among some Christians of a Jewish background who wanted to impose the law of Moses and circumcision upon Gentile Christians. So Paul and Barnabas made their way from the church at Antioch, coming down through Phoenicia, and this travel took them through Samaria on their way to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and elders there in the church. And as they went on this journey, we are told in verse 3, they went through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Well, this was something to rejoice about, that the gospel had been taken out into Gentile lands and Gentiles had received the gospel just like Jews, as the joy of salvation had been found in those lands. And notice how the brethren in Phoenicia and Samaria rejoiced over that with great joy. The reason I mentioned it to you is because of what it says about the Samaritans here. Because we know something more about the Samaritans in connection with this joy concerning salvation for other people. We've learned something about it in Acts chapter 8 as they rejoiced that God's word would come to them. But we know something else about it, because in John the 4th chapter, there's a record of Jesus going to Samaria where he met the woman at the well. And then for 2 days, he had opportunity to teach the Samaritans in that city. And in John chapter 4 and verse 42, we read something. The Samaritans of that city said to their fellow citizen, to the woman at the well. And they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of your speaking," that is her report to them about Jesus, "but now we believe because we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." "The Savior of the world," said the Samaritans. That's an extraordinary confession. And it is only from these Samaritans that we hear that confession at this point in the Bible. Because the Samaritans had been outcasts. And now they have come to know that this one is a Savior who came not only for the Jews, but for them too. And this is the background for their great joy, that the one they recognized as the Savior of the world has now, through his servants, taken that salvation out into the world of the Gentiles. And they're very happy about that. This is the joy of the gospel that is in the heart of those who recognize its value and receive it with belief and baptism, like those Samaritans. And because they have such faith and conviction and joy in the gospel, they will grow stronger in the faith and be faithful, and they will want others too to know this message. And if that is your heart of conviction tonight and joy that God loves you and would save you, and you need to respond to his invitation, if you would believe and be baptized, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? What do you hope, dear brother, by a further delay, with no one to save you but Jesus, and no other way but his way? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not? You'll die and appear at the judgment beyond every point of return. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now?
We are grateful for your presence here this evening. If there are one or more present that have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, it is prepared across the hall to my right, and may be dismissed at this time. Our closing song will be number 604. We'll sing the first verse only of 604, followed by our closing prayer. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shall the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for being able to assemble here again this evening to hear words from your gospel proclaimed to us. We know that each and everything that has been preached here today has been strictly from your word. Heavenly Father, there are many that are sick. We have a long prayer list. There are those who will be having surgeries tomorrow. We want to pray for all of them. We want to pray for Winston and Mallory and Theo that everything will go well and they will receive a good report. We know that everything is in your hands. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the church here at Beach Hill. Thankful for each and every one. We're so thankful that we are Christians together, like-minded people, trying to make it through this life. We know that we are just pilgrims and sojourners here. We're just passing through. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the avenue of prayer in which we have to come before you to give our petitions, let them be made known. We pray that we will go out this week and try to be a better example to the world about us. Pray that we will try to bring some soul to you. Heavenly Father, please forgive us of our sins as we repent and turn from them. Please bring us back at midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. Wednesday. Please continue to bless us. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.